podcast, as usual, does contain spoilers. This week, specifically for King Falls AM episode 52, All Along the Watchtower. So, as usual, if you haven't caught up, go ahead, go listen. You know where I'll be when you get done, sitting right here, waiting to finish this conversation. So anyway, hello my lovelies, and I hope you are all doing well. I hope you've had a good couple of weeks. Mine haven't been too terrible, except today I went to Walgreens to pick up a prescription, and I specifically go to the one that's slightly further away from my house because they have the drive-thru, so I don't have to get out of my car and deal with people. And I got there today, and there were two cars in front of me. And a few minutes later, one car pulled up behind me. After roughly 30 minutes of sitting there, the first car still had not moved. The car directly in front of me pulled away and left. And the car behind me pulled away and left. I sat there for probably another 10 minutes or so, roughly, give or take, before I left. I went to Burger King to pick up some food, and as I was driving home, I passed by the Walgreens again, and that car was still sitting there. So I don't know what the problem was, but the people at Walgreens need to know, if you have a drive-thru for people to pick up their prescriptions, which is there to make it easy and convenient, then if somebody has a problem with their prescription, you need to tell them to park their car and come inside. And if somebody's prescription is not ready yet, you need to tell them to drive away and leave and come back later. Okay, sorry about that. That was my rant. Anyway, we should get started with the show. Y'all don't want to hear about my personal problems. So anyway, current events. What's going on in the country today? Republicans are freaking out over Budweiser because they've gone woke. Dylan Mulvaney, a trans woman social influencer with roughly 11 million followers, is sponsoring them, and conservatives just aren't having it. They've decided to boycott Budweiser and their parent company, Anheuser-Busch. Of course, the protests consist of doing stupid things like buying Bud and then destroying it or pouring it out. They really have no idea how this boycott thing works. But, you know, Bud's making money off of them, so who cares? It seems more classified documents have been leaked. Honestly, I don't know the entire story behind what was leaked or the guy who did it, but apparently a part of it involves, the fact that there were more Chinese spy balloons than we were originally told. I'm not surprised. And honestly, had somebody not spotted and filmed the one, we probably wouldn't have known about that either. That's why they call it national security. Ron DeSantis has signed a 6-week abortion ban in Florida, banning women from having an abortion after 6 weeks, except in the case where the pregnant person's life is in danger. There is limited exception for victims of incest or rape, up to 15 weeks. However, if they want to have an abortion, they need to show some kind of proof that they have been assaulted, like a police report or something along those lines. Because, yeah, victims of SA are so eager to come forward and tell their story right away. That's how trauma works. You just can't stop talking about it. Or at least, that's apparently what Republican lawmakers think. People keep saying that things like this are going to destroy the Republican Party, but in all honesty, I'm not really sure that's what's going to happen. I certainly hope it does. God knows we could deal with less competition, but I don't know, really, considering how much support DeSantis still has and Trump still has and some other Republicans still have. If that's really what's going to happen. In contrast, Colorado's Governor Jared Polis, I keep saying his name wrong, has signed a bill protecting both abortion and trans healthcare rights, assuring that not only people here in Colorado, but in surrounding states can get the care they need for again, for abortion or for transitioning. So hopefully we won't get super overwhelmed, but if we do, we'll figure it out. We're Colorado. That's what we do. It's just another reason to like the state. Although, I gotta say, I'm sick of the snow. It's freaking cold, and I'm done. It's spring. But in light of what's going on in Florida and other states, I am going to put the resources for abortions back into the show notes in case somebody who listens or knows somebody needs these resources, then they are there for you and you can have them. What else is going on? Idaho has become the first state to pass a law restricting out-of-state travel for abortions. The new law makes helping a pregnant minor get an abortion in another state punishable by up to 5 years in prison. There's so many things wrong with that that I just don't even know where to begin. In fact, I am fully against the whole a minor being required to tell their parent about getting an abortion, but now that it's been banned, even somebody else helping them, be it a family member or not, travel to a state where they can get this medical care is going to cause people to go to jail. That's just, it's fucking ridiculous. That's just all there is to it. Missouri Republican Mike Moon defends a law allowing minors as young as 12, yes, that's 12 years old, to get married with their parents' permission, stating that it's the parents' right, and if they think it's okay for their child to be married, then who are they to stand in the way of what these parents decide? So, not only is this disgusting and basically just legalizing pedophilia, but I also find it ironic that, per this man's logic, parents have the right to marry their daughters. And it is, I realize this affects all children, but let's face it, it's mostly girls being married off to older men, not boys being married off to older women. So it's the parents' right to have their daughters marry their rapists, but they do not have the right to let their kids read whatever they want or to get their children gender-affirming care. So, yeah. Parents have rights to do what they want with their children, but only if it's something that Republicans agree with. So, yeah. Gotta love the hypocrisy. In happier news, following Trump's indictment, he has since been arrested and arraigned. On April 4th, he turned himself in to New York law enforcement and district attorney, robbing us of the perp walk, but that's not really a surprise. He was booked and arraigned on 34 felonies. I can't talk today. I am so sorry. I apologize, listeners. He was arraigned on 34 felonies, and the crimes and charges were read aloud in court. These charges can be found online, and I will try to remember to include a link in the show notes for anyone who is interested. Although, to be honest, I did not bother to really look them up or to read them. I don't see the point since we know he's already pled not guilty to all 34 charges, and some kind of bargain will be made to avoid a trial, and some of those charges will be dropped. Probably most of the charges will be dropped, but we'll wait. We'll have to wait and see. This is, of course, not, you know, of course they didn't actually throw him in jail. I don't know if he's out on bail or if he was released on his own recognizance. Probably the latter. That there is still more to come the case. Next we have the discovery process where Trump's legal team will ask for all of the evidence against him, and the DA will counter saying what they should and should not be allowed to have, and the judge will make a final decision on that. Of course, that's very much an oversimplification of the process, but you get the general idea. And there are several other steps that are coming, but that's the next step. So yeah, wow, that was a lot of news today. A lot of current events, so I apologize for that. Didn't mean to give you that much heavy stuff, but hopefully we will have some happier news next time around. Anyway, let's get on with the show. This episode, again, All Along the Watchtower, originally aired on June 1st, 2017. My God, I cannot talk today. I'm so sorry. We open with a Creepy Carl commercial. The Econoline van is now a part of a police investigation, so he is partnering up with Eli Williams down at, is it Cornby Critters? Cornby Critters? And I know I'm saying this wrong, but Carl's accent sometimes just gets so thick that the occasional word is just beyond my ability to translate. So I think it's Cornby Critters. So anyway, he has partnered with Eli Williams down at Cornby Critters and created Creepy Carl's Heavy Petting Zoo. So come on and see the most exotic animals that the Williams boys could come up with. 2-for-1 admission on Sundays. This is an extremely creepy commercial of his, and based on the current events, I didn't really want to go into details on his commercial, but go listen to it, because it still is kind of funny. I mean, we've had this discussion, that nobody should find Creepy Carl funny, but because we know it's completely fake and he's just, you know, basically a cartoon character, that makes it kind of funny, and it also makes us kind of sick and twisted because we find it funny, and that does not bode well for all of us sometimes. I'm just saying. Anyway, after the commercial, Sammy comes back on, and he wants to know who the hell takes their kids to anything with Creepy Carl's name on it. Or, for that matter, who even lets their kids anywhere near him. I mean, yeah, and I agree with Sammy on this one. Ben tells Sammy, he's like, you know, hey, look, we're back on the air. And Sammy's like, good, because people need to know what the hell's going on, and they need to keep people away from this creepy-ass dude's business. It's 3 a.m., and they are waiting to hear from the King Falls Sheriff's Office, who are out at Perdition Wood, where a hiker has previously been reported missing. The police were called out to a rest area around 8 p.m., and their source within the police department, Troy, let them know to tune in to Channel 3, and that there is now an official investigation going on, and an official press conference will be starting soon. Sammy wonders where their invite was. Gee, don't we all wonder why King Falls wasn't invited to this? But because they were alerted to the press conference early, Chet went on down with a microphone so that we could find out what was going on as it happens. And also, Chet just thinks that crime scenes like this are a good place to pick up the ladies. And there is some logic to that, considering how many women listen to true crime podcasts and watch murder shows on TV. If there was an actual crime scene that people could go to and hang out at the press conference and get some first-hand information, Chet may have a point that this might very well be a good place to pick up, you know, some single ladies. Who knows? But Ben is just hoping that whoever was dumb enough to go up there in the first place is found safe and sound. He doesn't understand why people keep going up there knowing how dangerous it is and that nothing good ever comes out of being in Perdition Wood. And if you're into nature, there are plenty of trees and such to take Insta-snap pics of out at Sweetser Forest. Just thinking about it gives Ben the chills, and I get it. I understand why, especially knowing what we all know as outsiders and listeners. But while they are waiting, they decide to open up the phone lines and they will talk about anything else except the upcoming press conference. They don't want any armchair predictions about what may or may not be going on out there. Before they open up the phone lines, Ben does have one request. He really, really wants people to stop sending him garbage bear pictures. And speaking of garbage bear pics, has anyone sent Noah any GB pics lately? Is he even still on Twitter? And because if so, he has not been active in quite some time. Not that I go actively searching him out either. I know he's on Instagram, and Kyle's on Instagram, and I'm pretty sure Eric is on Instagram. But I haven't logged into my Instagram account in forever, so I don't know what other cast members are on there. I know that Trent is no longer on Twitter, and in fact, I haven't seen him on any of the socials anymore, which is too bad, because we used to have some interesting conversations. He was just fun to chat with. So, I'm wondering if anybody has seen or heard from him as well. But like I said, most of them are on Instagram. But anyway, back to the show. So yeah, sure. Ben's Twitter followers like the furry little maniacs, but he doesn't. Sammy teases him about being afraid of raccoons, but Ben insists that he is not afraid. He is just cautious because they are, in fact, dangerous. And, you know, yeah, that's true. Wild raccoons do have fleas, which carry plague and other things. But really, Ben's over it. Over it. Sammy would like to say that this is the first time he's heard about this outburst. But sadly, it's not. He has to hear about it every time Ben gets a pic of them. So, Sammy's also sick of it. But of course, Ben's like, dude, you know, if I knew you hated danger noodles, I wouldn't be sending you pictures of them. And before they can open up the phone lines, Ben just one last time warns listeners that if they call about raccoons, he's ending the call. Because, yeah, he's just done. And Sammy's pretty done with it, too, to be honest with you. Anyway, they open up the call, open up the phones. It's line two. It's Herschel. And we haven't heard from Herschel in a while, so it's good to hear from him. He wants to know what Ben's problem is and why he talks so much more about raccoons than he does the news, telling him to just be a man and buy a hand cannon and blow them out of the damn trees if it's that much of a problem. But, of course, Ben's like, nah, I don't want to do that. There's no need to deal that. And, to, you know, go that far. And, of course, Herschel is, you know, crankier than usual tonight. He calls Ben, you know, some liberal insult. It's not really the insult you think it is there, Hersch. Anyway, like I said, he's crankier than usual. He tells the boys he's camping out, listening to Ben whine about garbage bears while he ignores the real news. He did have to squash a few mosquitoes while he was out there, though, and hopes that doesn't offend Ben's liberal sensibilities. He'd rather be fishing, but he has other things that he needs to do. And, of course, that's also assuming, you know, Ben doesn't want to outlaw fishing as well. But, you know, Ben's like, dude, I'm not a fan of fishing either. Of course he's not. But he doesn't seem to have a problem eating fish, probably, would be my guess. All this just upsets, you know, Herschel even further, because Ben just sounds too much like his ex-best friend. Herschel and Ben keep arguing about raccoons, and Sammy asks, he's like, you know, was there something we could help you with? And what exactly do you mean by ex-best friend? You know, the last they heard, Herschel and Cecil were making up. They were patching things up. But it turns out that Herschel thinks Cecil is doing just fine without Herschel F. Baumgartner in his life. That lousy so-and-so doesn't have time for him anymore. But as it goes, two can play at that game. And you better believe that Herschel invented the shut him out and emotionally hurt him game, which Sammy absolutely believes. Ben tries to tell Herschel that life is too short to hold onto a grudge like this. Sammy suggests Herschel stays on the line and they'll call Cecil and see if they can't help work things out on the air. That is, of course, you know, assuming that Cecil is still up. And Herschel is like, of course he's up. He's sitting there watching, you know, the aerobics infomercial, probably asking himself if he wants to do the old blue pill basharoo, and not even paying any attention to his new best friends that are hanging out in the house with him. Sammy asks if, you know, like, Herschel, are you spying on Cecil? And, you know, Ben asks, you know, How is that possible? How are you watching him when you guys live a couple blocks away? Of course Herschel is spying on the old Badger Balls. Who wouldn't want to spend time with Herschel? Sammy can think of a few people, but this isn't quite the time. Ben calls this an invasion of privacy, while Sammy calls it just plain creepy. And I agree with them both at this point. But Herschel just wants to know why his BFF doesn't want to be BFFs anymore. You can tell Herschel's, you know, he's angry, but he's also very hurt. Sammy asks, you know, have you called Cecil and talked to him? Of course he hasn't. So Sammy encourages him, like, dude, just hang up the phone, carefully climb down out of the treehouse, and just go knock on the door. Because, you know, people need to tell each other how they feel, and they need to talk these things out, you know, while they still have the chance. And Herschel's like, damn tree hugger, or something to that effect. He does call Sammy a tree hugger. While Sammy keeps talking to Herschel, Ben goes off and he calls Cecil. Herschel is still mad that Cecil is having a party, and yes, he was invited, but no, he's not going to go hang out and drink with a bunch of hanger-ons. Herschel sees Cecil get up out of his chair and mentions, you know, how his guests scattered pretty quickly. He sees Cecil answer the phone and wonders who the hell is calling at this time of night. But then we hear Cecil answer the phone, answer Ben's call on the air. So obviously we know who's calling him at this time of night. Before the boys can tell Cecil what's going on, Herschel jumps in and starts to call him a boot-licking, dirty dog, werewolf, rim-jobbing something. But Cecil interrupts him before he can finish. Sammy explains that they are just out here trying to get the guys to talk out whatever their issue is. And, of course, each one accuses the other of being the cause of all the problems. Cecil says, you know, he calls all the time. Herschel doesn't answer. He invites him over. Herschel doesn't want to come over. And he just wants to know, you know, Cecil just wants to know what the heck is going on. Herschel says he doesn't want to come over during one of Cecil's parties. He likes hanging out when it's just the two of them alone. You know, they hang out, they can drink beer or whatever. Cecil says he's not having a party. And, you know, he's just lonely because nobody comes over, nobody talks to him. Herschel's like, dude, I can see right now, and you have company over. I can see them. And the boys explain to Cecil that Herschel has been watching him from the treehouse. So we hear Cecil open the back door to tell Herschel, you know, come on in. The aerobics lady is just getting to Herschel's favorite part, you know, downward dog. But Herschel admits, he's like, yeah, I really can't get down anymore at this point. And even if he could, he doesn't want to watch the show with Cecil's new pals. But Cecil's insisting, is like, look, I am alone. There is nobody here. And he, to prove it, heads up into the treehouse to hang out with Herschel. So he hangs up the phone so he can climb up into the treehouse. The boys ask Herschel, he's like, you know, what exactly are you seeing in the house? Because Cecil insists he's alone and didn't sound like there was anybody in the background. But Herschel's like, I'm still on the phone. I can still hear you. And yes, there are people in there. I can see them. Cecil makes it up to the treehouse, and the two older gentlemen keep arguing about whether there is actually somebody in the house. Herschel's like, I can see them. Look, here's my binoculars. Cecil takes Herschel's binoculars, and at this point he admits, he's like, him and Han are like, yeah, you know, I do see something there, and what the hell is it? Ben's like, hey, there's some commotion over on Channel 3. We got to hang up with these guys so we can see what's going on with the press conference, although no Gunderson or Grisham yet. And Sammy's like, we can't leave these guys alone. They're sitting in a damn treehouse. We need to make sure that they're okay. But then for some reason, Sammy like is like, all right, whatever. He starts to hang up. But then Cecil insists on talking to Ben. He's like, hey, Ben's friend, I need to talk to Ben. He sounds kind of panicked. He's looking over into He's looking at his house from the treehouse, and he does see shadows everywhere in the house moving around all over the place, and they aren't people. Herschel takes the binoculars back, and he's like, you know, maybe they're not people, because I can see them climbing up the walls and climbing on the ceiling. Sammy's like, should we call Troy? But Cecil's like, no, Cecil and Ben are, or Cecil and Herschel are both like, no, don't do that. And it finally clicks on the boys that what Herschel and Cecil are seeing when they say they're seeing shadows. Ben warns them, he's like, dude, don't go back in the house. Cecil mentions, you know, he's been getting phone calls and wondering if it's Esther because, you know, he's been getting these calls at all hours of the day and night. Herschel's like, how do you know it's not Esther, dude? She's dead. You had sex with her one time. Just let it go. Cecil's like, but dude, that was like a serious relationship. So they argue about that for a little bit. But, you know, Ben's like, okay, you've been getting phone calls. So what's on the, who's on the phone? And he's like, you know, it's just mostly breathing and moaning. He can't really hear. He can hear people, but he can't really make out what it is they're saying. Ben wants to know if Cecil has actually talked to anyone during any of these calls. And he said he has talked to somebody named Debbie. Ben wants to know, you know, he's like, okay, you talked to Debbie. What the hell did you guys talk about? What was said? And she was scared and she was looking for some book or something. He's like, you know, did I do something wrong? Should I not have talked to her? You know, she just sounds so sweet, like his granddaughter, and he just wants to help. At this point, we can start hearing some odd noises in the background on the phone with Cecil and Herschel. And the guys are like, okay, yeah, we need to climb down out of this treehouse. So Cecil needs to hang up the phone so he can climb down out of the treehouse. Ben wants to know when the last time Cecil talked to Debbie was, but of course he isn't sure. She just wants help, but he doesn't know what it's about because she never gets to that part. She always has to leave because somebody is coming. And she keeps talking about a book and a void and some shadows. The guys do urge Cecil at this point now to go ahead and get down out of the tree. But be careful. Don't go back in the house. And then, you know, we hear Herschel in the background start to scream about, you know, the shadows are coming out of the house. And he starts to fire his gun. And the phone dies. The hotline rings, it's Troy, and of course before Troy can really say anything, they ask, can he get over to Cecil's house? He's like, no, I can't get over to Cecil's house. What's going on? Is Cecil okay? And they tell him, you know, there's a situation, shots have been fired, but he can't go, he's over at Perdition Wood, and they need to turn into Channel 13 right now, which, you know, does not make Ben happy. Sammy tells them, you know, okay, you guys handle this press conference thing. I'm going to call Cecil's cell phone, make sure that they're okay. So Ben asks Troy, he's like, you know, what's going on? Troy tells him to turn on the mic that they have down there at the scene. And Ben tells Troy, you know, that there are shadows at Cecil's house. So now Troy's like, well, holy shit, that is serious. What's going on? He's going to have to call Deputy Lynch to head over, though, because he can't leave. He's stuck at Perdition Wood. And if Ben's talking about the shadow tornado things that they were listening, that, you know, were over at Debbie's place, then this is really a problem. Ben's like, no, it's not tornadoes, but it is shadows, and so it is still, you know, super important. He's like, okay, you know, I'm going to call Deputy Lynch, but you need to listen to the feed. Ben turns on the feed from the press conference. It's a discussion between Grisham and Gunderson. They're, you know, on hot mics, but nothing official is being said yet. They haven't actually gone live. Sammy comes in to tell Ben that Cecil and Herschel are both okay. They made it out. They're headed over to Herschel's house. And the press conference starts. Grisham says that the King Falls Sheriff Department was called out to picnic and rest area site number one at approximately 8:30, where Caroline Vaughn, who went missing about a week ago, has been found deceased. They do not believe that foul play was involved, but an autopsy will still be performed just to verify. She was found with an unidentified man who is clearly in a state of shock and cannot even give his name or the date or anything. And he does not have any kind of ID on him. He's being taken to Big Pine Medical Center for an evaluation, but Sheriff Gunderson does not believe that he was involved in Miss Vaughn's death. In fact, it looks like he may have been the one to find her. And Gladstone asks kind of in the background, well, you know, okay, is this guy lucid? It's like, hard no, definitely not lucid. He was found near her body, just rocking and speaking gibberish and sobbing. And the only thing they could really make out was avoid the void and something about the devil's doorstep. So definitely two phrases that, you know, you don't want to hear coming out of somebody's mouth. Like, you know, just get... That tells you nothing good is going to be going on up there. In the background, you could hear Troy yell at somebody to stop running. And there's a man yelling, avoid the void, and the shadows are here. And, of course, Grisham is hollering at Troy to keep... he's there to keep control of what the hell's going on. It sounds like all hell is breaking loose. And then the man must have gotten a hold of one of the mics, because very clearly we can hear him say, you know, the forgotten do not remember what does not happen. What is not written cannot be done. What once was calm has now been maddened. The end is nigh because of the one. And that is where the show ends. No post-credit scenes this week. There were a few things happened in this episode I actually kind of forgot about. And actually, in the previous episode, there was some stuff that happened that I forgot as well. Not that I forgot they happened completely, but just forgot that they happened in that particular episode. I'm re-listening to these. It's been a while since I've re-listened to these, so I kind of forget where some of these things happen in the series. So anyway, that's where we're at. We're going to have to wait a couple of weeks to find out what we know about what's going on at Perdition Wood. I have no idea what the next episode is, so maybe even more than a couple of weeks. Although we do know they will revisit this at some point. I don't have any plugs or anything. Still have not listened to any new podcasts. I'm still trying to catch up on usual ones. I did start watching Rise of the Pink Ladies. It's kind of cute if you're into that thing. If you're a fan of Grease, I suggest you watch it. If not, you know, that's okay. That's the closest thing I've got to a plug. Anyway, I hope you all, like I said, are doing well, and I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. If you have anything, you know, that you want me to talk about, hit me up. You know where I'm at on all the socials. This has been Shotgun Saturday Nights. It is recorded and edited by myself, Dana Olson. Our opening theme is Get Ready by Fezline Studios, and our closing music is A Slumber of the Blackwoods by As Above, So Below. Follow us on Twitter at ShotgunSammy71, Shotgun Saturday Nights on Facebook, or you can email us questions, comments, and concerns at ShotgunSaturdayNights@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, share, and review.